Great day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún's Earnings Results Conference Call. My name is Thelma, and I will be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will facilitate a question-and-answer session towards the end of this presentation. You may press star one on your touch-tone telephone at any time to pose a question. If at any time during this call you require operator assistance, please key star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Christian Morales, CFO of Colbún. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Colbún's Investor Conference Call. First of all, sorry for the delay, but we experienced some problems with the phone number. My name is Christian Morales. I am the CFO of the company. And joining me today is Olivia Hertz, Head of Investor Relations. Hopefully, you have received our third quarter press release via email, or you have downloaded it from our webpage. Olivia will start this call with an explanation on the main drivers of the third quarter results. Then, I will comment on the status of our CapEx plan and on the recent relevant events about our company. Finally, we will have some time for Q&A. Olivia.
Okay, thank you, Christian. Good morning, everyone. So let's first go through the analysis of our third quarter results. In terms of EBITDA, we reached 41 million. That is 58% down from the 97 million recorded during the third quarter of 2009 and 68% down from the 128 million of the previous quarter of this year. The 87 million decrease in EBITDA of the third quarter as compared to the second quarter of this year is explained by five main unfavorable effects, which were partially offset by two favorable effects. These seven effects are shown in the graph on page 4 on the press release. So you can take it and go through it as we go on with the call. The first unfavorable effect as compared to previous quarter, the most relevant one, comes from 33% decrease in hydraulic generation. This lower hydro output is explained by the lower water availability in the relevant basins for Colbún due to the dry hydrological year we have been experiencing. To compensate this, we had higher thermal generation with diesel, and we also had to purchase energy in the spot market as compared to previous quarter. The comparison with the same quarter of previous year also shows a lower hydro output of 34% for the third quarter of 2010. The second unfavorable effect is explained by lower natural gas availability from Argentina and other local providers. Usually during wintertime, Argentina's internal gas consumption increases and leaves no surplus for Chile. This fact reduced Colbún's generation with gas during the past quarter by 87% as compared to the previous quarter, which had to be replaced with diesel generation, which cost is higher than gas. Also, regarding this fuel, the third quarter gas purchase item does not have the positive non-recurrent effect, which was registered during the second quarter, related with a 9 million settlement of pending accounts with a gas company, which is called Total. The third unfavorable effect is related with higher fuel costs during third quarter of this year due to a 5% higher physical sales to our clients as compared to previous quarter. This fact also has a positive effect on revenues, of course, which will be mentioned in a moment and partially compensates for this higher fuel cost. The fourth unfavorable as compared to previous quarter comes from the other operating revenue item, mainly because we did not have the positive non-recurrent accounting effect registered in the second quarter from an insurance payment of 10 million. That payment corresponded to a compensation for business interruption at our thermal power plant Antilue, back in November 2007. The fifth and last unfavorable effect of this quarter is related with our lower margin from sales on the stock market as compared to previous quarter. This lower margin is explained mainly by the lower sales volume to this market. And lower sales on the stock market during the quarter were the result of lower total generation at our plant, mainly driven by the lower hydro conditions we have mentioned before, which were partially compensated by higher thermal generation, and that thermal generation is defined by a centralized dispatch center, as you know, the way it works in the Chilean generation sector. Now, these five unfavorable effects were partially offset by two more relevant favorable effects. The first one is related to higher average sales prices to our customers as compared to previous quarter, to both regulated and unregulated customers. These rises in prices are mainly explained by the application of indexation formulas and to the effect of the appreciation of the local currency for some sales prices, which are temporarily fixed in Chilean pesos between periodic tariff revisions. The second favorable effect is related to higher sales volumes to our customers as compared to previous quarter. It's worth noting that physical sales to our free customers increased by 11%, whereas the sales volume to our regulated customers decreased in 3%, mainly explained by the particularly low demand in September because we had two national holidays to celebrate Chile's 200 years of independence. I think it's worth to take 2 days to celebrate that. Now, on the non-operating side, the favorable evolution from a loss of 24 million in the second quarter to a loss of 15 million in the third quarter resulted mainly from the 11.3% appreciation of the local currency during the quarter, applied on a balance sheet with an excess of assets over liabilities denominated in Chilean pesos. The latter produced a non-operating income of 40 million from exchange differences. So that's an important effect in the non-operating side. And then this positive effect was partially offset by a non-recurrent expense of 42 million due to compensatory payments for the early termination of natural gas transport contracts between Colbún and TGN. Now, the income tax item also registers an income of 24 million during the third quarter as compared to a loss of 18 million recorded under the previous quarter. This is also explained by the 11.3% appreciation of local currency during the quarter. The income tax item is the result of temporary differences generated by exchange differences that arise from keeping financial accounting in dollars and tax accounting in Chilean pesos. Well, local tax calculations, tax assets, and liabilities are carried in Chilean pesos as per local rules and are converted to US dollars at the end of period exchange rates. The latter produces exchange differences that have to be recorded in the income tax line in accordance with IFRS. So in summary, the lower EBITDA, partially offset by the positive evolution of the non-operating results and the positive evolution of income tax, took third quarter net income to 19 million, down from previous quarter's net income of 56 million. Now, on the cash flow side, we can highlight 20 million of cash flow generated from operating activities during the quarter, explained by EBITDA. Also, the recovery of approximately 20 million from non-contracted regulated customers, accounts receivables. Also, the recovery of approximately 8 million from tax receivables. Then the collection of 9 million from anticipated insurance payments from Santa Maria 1 project, which were all partially offset by interest payments of 26 million and the compensatory payment of 42 million for the early termination of the natural gas transport contract between Colbún and TGN. So these $20 million of cash generated by operating activities were quite lower than the $116 million of past quarter, mainly due to the lower EBITDA. Cash flow generated by financing activity was minor. It was a net outflow of $3 million during the quarter. Cash flow used in investing activities was $122 million in the third quarter, explained by the total disbursements of $89 million made in connection with the construction of our large projects that are in that phase at the moment, which is Santa Maria, San Pedro, and Angostura, and also a $31 million payment for the purchase by Colbún of the remaining shares of its affiliate company, Hidroeléctrica Aconcagua. In summary, the period, the third quarter, had a negative cash flow and increased net debt by $136 million during the third quarter, reaching $986 million as compared to $850 million at the closing of the second quarter. Well, the net debt also increased, the effect was amplified because gross debt also increased during the period due to an exchange rate difference effect on debt denominated in local currency.
Thank you, Olivia. Now that we have gone through the main drivers of our third quarter results, I would like to mention other relevant facts concerning our company. Today, one of the main focuses of Colbún is developing its expansion plan, so I would like to comment briefly on the status of each of our projects. First, regarding the Santa Maria coal terminal project, the 342-megawatt coal-fired plant, we estimate the startup for the second half of 2011, most likely during the fourth quarter. This delay is the combination of slippage accrued by the EPC constructor and the February earthquake impact. As of September 2010, $46 million have been booked as asset impairment. This amount is equivalent to the damage repair cost caused by the earthquake, out of which 10%, that corresponds to the all-risk construction insurance policy deductible, has been recognized as a loss in our income statement. This amount includes the payment presented by the contractor and other direct expenses incurred by Colbún. We continue the process of determining the final claim due to the earthquake with our advisors and the loss adjuster. Note that the construction all-risk policy that we have included ALOP coverage. Now, the San Pedro hydroelectrical project of 150 megawatts, it's concluding the preliminary works like access roads, material removal, and is also progressing on the deviation tunnels, currently showing an 80% progress. Now that we have cleared the project area, we have been able to better assess the quality of the land and find out that the conditions are less favorable than the expected. We are conducting additional studies, and with the information gathered up to date, we foresee that changes will be made to the design of the civil works. In order to conduct a more thorough analysis of the study's results, and then hire the engineering studies associated with the possible changes, and finally present them to the corresponding environmental authorities, Colbún has decided to postpone the awarding of the contracts for the definitive works, like civil works and equipment, for a period of 6 months. Now, the Angostura hydroelectric project of 316 megawatts, it's currently working in the access road construction phase and replacing the existing roads that will be affected by the project, as well as building the entry portals of the deviation tunnel. During September, the machine cabin window construction was finalized, and so now we are beginning to dig the underground cavern. Another relevant fact to mention is that we have reached two LNG purchase agreements with Empresa Nacional de Petróleos, ENAP. Colbún first reached a natural gas supply agreement that enables to operate at full capacity one of our combined cycle plants at the Nehuenco during 4 months starting January 1st, 2011. This agreement provides the possibility to extend the supply up until December of next year. We then reached a second agreement with similar conditions than the first one for the supply of LNG for the last 2 months of this year. We started receiving gas on October the 20th. We think this is good news because this gas supply will compensate for the poor hydro output expected in the coming months. I think we have gone through the relevant drivers of our business, and this concludes Colbún's third quarter results view, and now we will be happy to answer questions that you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Please press star 1 to begin, and please stand by for your first question. Your first question comes from Josephine Shea with Hartford Investment Management. Please proceed.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you expand a little bit on the hydro production and your expectations and what your mix is expected to look like going forward?
Sure, Josefina. I think that's probably the most relevant driver for the coming months. And indeed, we have faced a dry winter this year. So the relevant information to estimate the hydro output for the coming months is actually the melting forecast until March next year. Recall that March is the end of the current hydrological year. So the melting forecast is prepared by an external consultant, which is hired by that independent coordinator, which is the CDC, the Centralized Dispatch Center. And that center has already issued its third melting forecast for the upcoming quarters. And the forecast shows rather dry conditions, which is in line with the dry winter we had. So based on the last melting forecast, we expect a stronger hydro output during the fourth quarter as compared to the third quarter. Range is difficult because it depends on temperature, on the quality of the snow. The exact amount is difficult, but we expect between 35% to 40% higher hydro output. And if we compare that forecast of the fourth quarter of this year with the same period of last year, we estimate that our hydro output will be weaker, some 20% probably weaker than last year because the winter has been dry.
Are those forecasts made public, or it's just for internal use of the system?
Well, you can find those reports on the CDC webpage, even though it will be difficult for you to translate those cubic meters, those forecasts of cubic meters into Colbún's specific hydro output. But you can see that forecast with statistics. It's on the webpage. If you want, Josephine, we can send you an email with a link so you can find those three reports. In September, usually they submit their first report, and then the next month, the second. So now we have already the third report.
That would be helpful. A direction is all I'm looking for, whether it gets worse, stable, or better. And I
sure.
suppose
but
that would be
better. Typically, the fourth quarter, it's better than the third quarter. So mm-hmm. by sure, hydro output will be higher than the third quarter. But as Olivia explained, slightly below the same quarter of last year.
Okay, and could you provide some color about your expected use of gas? You signed a new contract. Will that have what kind of impact will that have on the coming quarters? Is that this quarter already, or can we see it showing up in other quarters?
No, I think that you will see an impact in this fourth quarter. If you see at the prices, this is public information, but I think the price Remember, the price of LNG is not a cheap one. We are talking about in the range, in the neighborhood of about $12 per million BTU, and that translates into a cost of electricity of about $90 per megawatt hour. And that compares the same facility, a combined cycle, using gas has a cost using today oil prices of about 130. So you can see there is a price differential. So if you assume that a combined cycle plant can generate about 250 gigawatt hours in a month, you can make the math and you will see that it will have a positive impact. And as I said, we start receiving LNG on October 23rd, I think was the actual date. So that's for this quarter. And as I said, for next year, we have agreed four months to begin, and we have the option to extend the supply of LNG if hydro conditions require LNG. Because remember, if we are in a normal hydro condition, most likely those facilities won't be dispatched.
Yes. Can you say something about the amount of diesel that you expect now to be reduced, or what kind of cost savings can we expect? Because obviously diesel was the main driver of EBITDA going down. Can you guide us towards what kind of impact?
Yes, I think I gave you all the parameters, but again, we have availability to run one combined cycle plant using gas. That combined cycle plant can produce about 250 gigawatt hours per month. Okay, and the cost saving, it's going from 130 to 90. It's about $40 per megawatt hour. So 250 times 40, you can do what is the saving.
All right.
$1 million per month.
Okay,
correct.
Okay, sorry about that. Last question. Are your accounts payable? What was that for the quarter? And then I'll go back in line.
You mean accounts payable or accounts receivable?
Yes. No, accounts receivable were provided, but not accounts payable, if I'm correct.
No, we mentioned accounts receivable because we are collecting that so-called credit that we gave to the distribution company that ran out of contracts, and we have a slightly large accounts receivable from that. So that's we always mention that. But from the accounts payable standpoint, the relevant thing is the payment of diesel, which is made on a 15 to 20 days time period, so it's not that much working capital or financing that we have in that front. I don't know if that answers your question, Josephine.
Sure. I'll go back to mine. Thanks.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. You have another question from the line of Josephina Shea with Hartford Investment Management. Please proceed.
Sorry about this. I guess no one else is asking. Can you provide some guidance around your expected CapEx over the coming quarters?
Yes, I think we can give you a very broad picture. For next year, we are forecasting about $400 million. And that should be probably more skewed toward the second and or starting the second quarter. We are in the Santa Maria 1 project. Really, it's just we have $100 million of investment to be made. So it's not an important figure. But the project is almost completed from a physical standpoint. Now comes the commissioning, and so that's why the capex has reduced. And then we'll start seeing the important disbursement of the Angostura project, and then forecasting the progress of civil works
And other disbursement, we anticipate to have for the full year $400 million of CAPEX.
Okay.
And remember that from a liquidity standpoint, we have today about above $500 million in cash. We have committed lines with local banks of about $200 million. And we are collecting these accounts receivable, the credit to the distribution company. We have an outstanding balance of about $130 million, and we are forecasting to project that, to collect that by the end of next year. And we have very little debt coming due next year. So basically, the company is very well prepared to face this CAPEX.
So if I can summarize, you do not expect any additional funding needs over the coming 12 months because you have enough liquidity?
We are very liquid, and we have a very good structure of debt, so we do not anticipate any debt issuance in the next 12 months.
Can you remind me what your expectations are of when Santa Maria goes online, what kind of volumes or revenue, you know, some kind of cash flow or revenues we can expect from that plan?
Sure. Well, that's a plan that has a 340 megawatt of net capacity and will produce at full capacity or at full load will produce about 2,500 gigawatt hour per year. That's electricity production, energy production. And it will have a cost, a variable cost, of about $40 per megawatt hour. That's basically translating the cost of coal today times all the thermal efficiency that the plant will have. It's a very efficient plant. So you can compare that cost to, for example, today's marginal cost. Today the marginal cost is around 130. So now you can get a sense of what the margins are. If we have more normal hydro conditions, that marginal cost should go down. Should go down to a level. Now it will depend what technology is setting the marginal cost. $90 if it's LNG, or could be slightly below if it is it's a combination of hydro and that. So again, that plan, given that variable cost, will be producing sizable margins.
And what kind? Obviously, it won't operate at full capacity, I assume. What kind of revenue stream can we expect? Should I just use the? What kind of revenue stream can we expect from there?
I would say the margin stream. It's the 2,500. Gigawatt hour per annum times you have to make your own assessment of what would be a marginal cost.
Okay.
Let's say for the sake of the argument, $80, an average marginal cost of $80 minus its variable cost of 40, you have a margin of $40. $40 times 2,500, that's about $100 million of additional margin. But again, this is just for the sake of the argument.
Yeah.
I make no assurance that will be the relevant price.
Understood. I'll try to make some scenario analysis. Can you say something about your dividends? What was the dividend during the quarter?
So we have paid no dividends. We typically, we pay 30% of net income, and we pay an interim dividend typically January of each year. Probably that dividend will be announced during this quarter, and we make a final dividend in April, May of each year.
Okay. And expectation of breakdown between your free and your regulated customers. Obviously, your free customers' volumes have increased more than on the regulated side. Can you say anything about how contracts are going and any changes in your customer base, your expectations?
In the fourth quarter, it will be similar because the same contracts will be enforced, unless slightly in the margin, their growth might affect, but it's minor. the same contracts will be there this quarter, in the fourth quarter. For next year, yes, we will have a new contract with a regulated customer, which is Chilectra, for about 2,000 gigawatt hour additional contracts next year. So that will rebalance somehow the regulated side. So that's when I think we will have a 50-50 portfolio.
Okay, that's helpful. Could you also mention what in Chilean peso was year over year the change in revenues and in EBITDA? I know you report in dollars, but sometimes having the Chilean results gives a very different picture.
You know, unfortunately, Justin, we completely forgot the figures in pesos. So we, and to be honest, we just look at the figures in dollars, so we don't have the figures to give you to answer that. But remember, all the prices are set in dollar terms, so the business is highly correlated to dollars. So that's why we're using the dollar. But we can provide you that information.
No, then I can calculate it myself. That's fine. And the FX impact on total debt levels and what the net increase was in.
Yes, we have about $1.5 billion of gross debt.
Yes.
Okay, of that debt, about $400 million is denominated in dollars. In pesos or linked to pesos. And why we don't, you could say, why don't you have 100% of dollar denominated debt? Because we have temporary assets, these accounts receivable and VAT, that it's offsetting that exposure, that debt. But when you measure that debt in dollars, given that the exchange rate has appreciated, that increases the debt. And that's basically the increase in net debt that we showed you in the quarter.
Okay.
So the figure is about $400 million of the debt is denominated in pesos.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You have no additional questions at this time.
Okay, so I think that's it. We thank you for your participation in this conference call. As always, we are available, Olivia, myself, and Macarena, to answer questions that you may have. And so we hope to hear from you in the next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect and have a great day.